This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. When you think about big-time celebrity chefs like those dominating the Food Network, it's striking that so many of them are men. Programs like Chopped, Top Chef, and Iron Chef feature mostly male chefs.
And usually the focus isn't so much on the food as it is on the tough, take-no-prisoners approach of the chefs. It's cooking as warfare. For example, here's the often livid and red-faced Gordon Ramsay dressing down a terrified contestant on the program Hell's Kitchen.
And you think every time you want to ask me a question, I'm going to go down there and run to you when I'm trying to run a kitchen. You come to me. Is that clear?
Yes, it is.
Good. Now, what was the question?
Is this acceptable to you?
I'll let you know. Now, off. Kitchens are run on emotions. I may get upset, but the most important thing is, it's not personal.
Yeah, right. Not personal. And it's rarely female either. From Gordon Ramsay to Bobby Flay to Emeril Lagasse to Anthony Bourdain, most big-time celebrity chefs are men. So here's the question. If there is an army of women chefs and cooks across this country, and there is, why do so few of them get rewarded with that kind of celebrity?
Take the case in point, the issue that blew up last November when Time magazine published a cover story on, quote, the 13 gods of food, a list that included precisely zero female chefs. It sparked controversy and heated discussion back then, and the conversation continued today at a gathering at Rialto Restaurant in Cambridge, where several top female chefs and food writers asked why women chefs aren't getting their due.
Now, among them, Jodi Adams, James Beard Award-winning chef and owner of Rialto in Cambridge, co-owner of Trade in Boston. She's with us now. Jodi, welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for bringing this topic.
Oh, yeah, it's a great topic. And also with us is Louisa Kasdan. She's a Boston-based food writer, former restaurateur, founder and CEO of Let's Talk About Food. And Louisa, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
And I should say that you both managed to escape the iron grip of presidential security in Harvard Square, so thank you for making that effort.
It was an exciting day.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Why don't female chefs get the notoriety that they deserve? What explains this? Is it just a simple lack of respect, lack of financial backing? Give us a call. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also at Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Jodi, I'll start with you since this event was at your restaurant. It was headline, If Women in White Aren't in the Picture, They're Not in the Picture. So just describe what you see as the challenge out there.
The challenge is that, and this was sparked by one photograph in particular of 10 chefs in Aspen, and there were 9 men and 1 woman. And actually, the woman was not a chef. She was a professional, but she was not a chef. So there are many, 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 many talented and qualified women chefs out there, and somehow not one was found to put in that picture. Mm. And so if women aren't in the picture, then the world doesn't know that they exist. And if the world doesn't know they exist, then how can any young person, young woman, see themselves there? And how can the world support them in getting to that place? So it's a pretty simple question for me, and it's one that I know is not unique to the food world.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. Louisa, I want to ask you, you wrote a piece for WBUR's Cognoscenti blog in January about that Time magazine story on the 13 gods of food. As we mentioned, as Meghna mentioned, a list that included 0 female chefs. You say men get more attention because it's easier to write about them. Men make better copy.
They do. Men are more outspoken, more outrageous. They're, frankly, looser when you go to interview them. Mm. And when you go to interview them as a, I'm going to throw the question back to you and Meghna. Certainly men in the food world, and I've written about hundreds and hundreds of chefs, they say things that instantly jump out at you as a pull quote. They are funny. They promote themselves comfortably. They're not bad. This is a good thing. And women are a little bit more humble. We're still a little bit worried about being too aggressive, taking too much credit. So men make better copy because they're willing to sort of jump out of the box.
So it sounds like there are two issues there. I mean, one is women need to sort of lean into this a little more, to sort of quote Sheryl Sandberg, but also it sounds like the problem might be among people like you, like me, people who write about these folks. We need to make an effort to sort of write about the women too. Is that fair?
That's truly fair. Yeah. And we need to encourage them to like take a little risk and claim some credit.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, Jody, about something that Louisa brought up in that piece. She noted a comment by celebrity chef Bobby Flay and a chef agent who suggested that investors are simply less willing to back female chefs and restaurant owners. You're a great person to talk to about this. You've got your own restaurant. You own it. You've got backers. You've got a partner running a restaurant trade in Boston. So what about that? Is it harder for female chefs to get the backing that they need?
I believe that is true. And talking to friends of mine in the business, I would say that is indeed correct. Mm-hmm. That women are, and is that because women don't present themselves in a way that gives people confidence? Is it because they run restaurants that have a different kind of bottom line? I know in talking to my friend Tracy Desjardins, who was just here on the panel with me, and she has restaurants in San Francisco, and she ensures that her staff is taken care of. So her bottom line may look different than somebody else's who's squeezing dollars.
What's the answer? I mean, you have the answer to this question because obviously you're a woman chef, you're prominent, you're well known, and you've convinced people to back you financially. So what do women chefs have to do?
I believe they have to step out of their comfort zone. I think to Louisa's point, it's really important to talk about your accomplishments and talk about what you can do, as opposed to instead of when somebody asks you, you know, what can you bring to the table? Instead of saying, I'm not really good at this, I'm not really good at that, but I can do this, start by saying, these are the things that I can do. These are the people that I know to connect with in order to help me get there. And make sure that you really have done your homework and that you're convincing you have a great business plan.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking to Jody Adams. She's the owner of Rialto in Cambridge, trade in the financial district in Boston, award-winning chef, and Louisa Kasdan, food writer and journalist, about women chefs and why they don't get the due that they deserve relative to male chefs. What do you think about this conversation? 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-8255. Talk. Let's take a call. Rich is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Rich, you're on the air.
How are you?
Good.
So, for me, I have a really hard time with celebrity chefs. As far as the television shows, it's less about cooking and it's more about personalities. And I feel like there's plenty of female chefs out there. They're just not as bravado and as upfront. And so they're more likely to be pushed to the side as far as the flamboyant, let's say, celebrity Bobby Flay. And it's, if you are an aspiring chef or aspiring cook, if you're going to watch these cooking shows, you're not really going to yell that as far as not pan-searing scallops correctly. So it's not really, in my opinion, it's not really a cooking show. So they're celebrities for their personalities, not for their cooking.
All right. Well, Rich, let me put that to our guests, and I'll start with you, Louise. I mean, I think Rich makes a good point. I mean, when I look at these cooking shows, and I don't look at them a lot, you know, in some ways they have more in common with boxing and pro wrestling, it seems like, than with cooking. And, you know, so maybe these are pursuits that, I don't know, is this a culture that is just more suited to men when it comes to, like, you know, whipping up this culture of celebrity around this event, which you can barely call cooking?
I don't see the competition shows as cooking shows either. I completely agree with Rich. I defy anybody to watch them and come away saying, I can make that. I mean, you can't. It's, you know, this cut to here and that cut to there, and then there's a pan that's burning and boiling over. They're not about that. They're about entertainment that is sort of fast-paced. And it's interesting that I heard a statistic last week that something like 80% of the people who watched the Food Networks in the early shows, in the early years, were men. You know, the same, they were marketing that men really liked watching it the same way they liked watching sports. And I think that carries through. I think the cooking shows, and some of them are a little bit slower in pace, shall we say, are getting fewer and fewer.
Yeah. But does this sort of point to, Jody, this idea that, those cooking shows really give you the idea that the industry is still such a male-dominated industry with sort of tough, competitive, get-out-of-my-way male energy that perhaps pushes women aside, discourages women from participating?
I think that that is true, and it's the reason why I went on Top Chef Masters and participated in one of those shows. I was told by my children if I didn't do it, I was a wimp. And my team at the restaurant really wanted me to do it, and I thought, why not? What have I got to lose? I'm going to look like an idiot. And I was really pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I loved the competition. I loved cooking with my peers. I loved seeing what I could do under those stressful circumstances. Part of the reason I got into the business, because I loved working on a line as a cook in a restaurant in a fast-paced kitchen. And so I loved all of that. I would have preferred if the judging had been done anonymously so the judges didn't know who actually made the dishes. I think it would have been a fair playing field.
Interesting.
But I have come out the other side with a different opinion, and that is that if women want to be at a certain level, they're going to have to learn how to play at that game and make it comfortable for themselves.
So the game isn't going to change. They're going to have to learn to adapt.
Well, it's what makes money, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the conversation that we had today was about should the game change? Should we change the narrative? Does anybody have a responsibility to do that? And Louisa and I have had a conversation about that. I believe we do have a responsibility. I believe, Anthony, as you said, you do. It's, you know, in the media. I think everybody does. Because there are, you know, the world is made up of more women than men. And we should be active participants.
Let's, Jody, I want to ask, well, actually, let me ask you both about I feel like we're sort of talking about this situation in general and almost the way it plays out nationally. But what about here in Boston? Because I'm just going to name some names. Jody Adams, sitting right in front of me. Barbara Lynch, Joanne Chang, Lydia Shire, Anna Sortoon, Kristen Kish, a young chef who just won Top Chef last year. So these are all Boston-based chefs, women who seem to be doing really, really well. How do you assess how the situation is going here in Boston for women chefs?
I would say that there are role models.
Yeah.
And I know in the case we just heard Kristen say that the reason that she went on Top Chef is because Barbara encouraged her to. Barbara Lynch, who she was working for. I mean, that's a role model. That's somebody who's pushing you. You know, I came to Boston and got it. My first restaurant job was with Lydia Shire, encouraged by Julia Child that I do that. I saw in Lydia my potential for the future, and I think that's so important.
I have to say exactly what Jody said. Boston, first of all, is unusual because we do have a pretty good handful. I mean, there's probably not that many more male chefs that you could name that everybody would know. It's probably almost an equal number of name chefs. That doesn't mean that they all get equal play, but I think the thing that's interesting about Boston is also the age factor. That we have a lot of chefs now who've been at it a while, and they are now I was going to use the word elders, and I don't want to use that word. They are now accomplished, and everybody needs to figure out in the food world, as they do in other worlds, how those accomplished professionals most effectively mentor.
I'm going to throw out just some facts because it's nice to base these conversations on facts, and the facts are quite stunning here. Number of women enrolled at the Culinary Institute of America, which is the oldest nonprofit culinary college in the country, all-time high. 47% are women. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more than 1 in 5 of the chefs and head cooks in the U.S. are women. And yet, San Pellegrino list of the world's 50 best restaurants include 2 women chefs. Of the 7 New York City restaurants honored with 3 stars by Michelin, None has a female chef. The last 7 James Beard Outstanding Chef Awards have all gone to men. So it's a real issue here.
And Anthony, can I just say that most of those lists, other than the number of women enrolled, are very subjective. And people may not even realize the judges who decide who's the James Beard Chef of the Year or on the New York City Best Restaurant, that they're making a subconscious decision.
So let's take another call. Deanna is calling from Arlington. Hi, Deanna. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It struck me as I was listening to your guest speak on this issue that one of the issues that hasn't been brought up is what's challenging to many women trying to build a career, which is balancing family and a career. And I would think that in the restaurant industry, where the hours aren't particularly favorable normally for family life, that a woman trying to really build a career that's going to allow her to stand out in her profession, she might be disadvantaged. And I was wondering if your guests had any thoughts on that.
It's a great issue to bring up. Jody, let me come to you. I mean, I know wife, I mean, you deal with these issues.
I would also turn to the statistics about from the CIA. It is, and this is anecdotal on my part. I don't have
CIA as in the Culinary Institute of America. America, right.
That the number of people who actually enter, who go through the school, who actually end up staying in restaurants is very small. They end up in other industries because, to your point, yes, it is a really hard industry to be in and to have a normal 9-to-5 kind of family life where everybody's at home around the dinner table and, you know, both parents are at home on weekends. It doesn't happen. And that's true also in the medical field and for people who are, you know, flying airplanes. I mean, there are lots of industries where that happens as well. And I think it's, you know, you have to be a little crazy to want to be in the restaurant business. But there are, and you have to figure out a way to make it work. Is it easy? Absolutely not. It's a struggle and a juggle, and you do it day in and day out. It's never perfect. My kids rarely saw me at night.
So you've got to be prepared to for some sacrifice there. Let me ask you, I think we've got time. I'm going to ask you both sort of the same question as sort of a final thought. I mean, as we mentioned, the numbers show there are lots of women in this business, obviously huge numbers of hugely talented female chefs. The issue here is there are many fewer famous female chefs. Why does that matter? I mean, if chefs are doing great work, why does it matter that they don't share that celebrity?
Because I think then they're not visible. Mm-hmm. And without the visibility, then there aren't role models. And I believe that it's also a question of power. It's a question, and this is not just in my industry, but in any industry, it's a question of security for women. If there is a, you know, an army of women together, there's less chance that something's going to happen like what's happened in the military. You know, those women are not protected. And that's sexual abuse and harassment is not necessarily what's top of mind when you think about the food world. But I do think that it's just so important that we come together as a force. We're at a tipping point in every conversation that I've had with women across industries. This is critical. And not every woman wants to be a celebrity chef. Mm-hmm. You know, not every woman wants to compete on a cooking show. But women should be recognized, and they should be part of the conversation, and they should be the people having the conversation, the experts.
All right. Well, that's Jody Adams, James Beard Award-winning chef, owner of Rialto in Cambridge and Trade in Boston. Jody, thanks for coming in and talking about this important issue.
Thank you so much.
And Louisa Kasdan, food writer, journalist, founder, and CEO of Let's Talk About Food. Thank you both. I mean, thank you as well.
Well, you can always continue this conversation online at our website, radioboston.org, or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.